You are watching Notepad. My name is Ibrahim Sani. As per usual, every now and then we talk about low carbon economy on this show. We talk about how industries can actually optimize their energy efficiency and also talk about what the efforts are at industry level. And very, very soon, the Joint Committee on Climate Change, or JC3, will hold a flagship event on climate change. They want to call this Finance for Change. It's a virtual conference that will take place on the 23rd, 25th of June, and it will compile a very illustrious panel of speakers from the Deputy CEO of the Securities Commission to the Finance Minister himself, Tengku Zafrul, to the Governor of Negara, to discuss and to try to alleviate the issue of how the finance sector in specific can actually argue for a better way moving forward to achieve global efficiency when it comes to energy. On my show this evening is Tan Sri Abdul Wahid Omar, the Bursa Chairman, who has been kind enough to speak to us halfway across the world to talk about this issue. He will be also a speaker on JC3. Tan Sri Wahid, thanks for gracing us with your presence today. Now, of course, you have been talking about energy efficiency. You've been talking about low carbon economy for the longest of time. Even back when you were in Maybank, I remember succinctly then you were talking about this many years ago. And when you were helming the ministerial post, you were also arguing for this as well. But that's the thing about arguing about something. It's also trying to make it work as well. Where do you stand on this issue of how climate change have been done, particularly in the finance sector?
Well, thank you, Ibrahim, for this opportunity. Now, I think it's very important for all of us to look at the big picture. And I would like to zoom in on the upcoming COP26 that will be held in Glasgow in November. Now, this is the conference of parties that will be making three major commitments. One is the global movement towards net zero. Secondly, is to halve net emissions by 2030. And the third minimum objective is to keep global warming within 1.5 degrees centigrade. Now, this is important for all of us who live in this world, because if we don't strive hard enough, there will be major consequences to the global environment. And in this respect, we have seen the entire global financial community supporting this move towards global net zero. And this is being done, among others, by way of accelerating our commitment towards sustainable finance. And as you know, sustainable finance is about taking into account the environmental, social and governance considerations into our investment decision-making and financing decision-making and moving towards a more sustainable growth in the economy and the well-being of society.
A lot of people think that sustainability is mostly talking about environment, but people tend to forget that ESG, there's also the S and also the G element to it. And of course, while people want to argue that some industries are harming the environment a lot more than, say, others, you know, for instance, fossil fuel industry, oil and gas, people would assume that, and rightfully so, that it would harm the environment a lot more, say, than, for instance, finance. But people want to talk about sustainable finance, the S element of it and the G element of it. Could you elaborate on that role where the finance sector is going to play when it comes to developing a climate change that is building not only a resilient economy moving forward post-pandemic, but perhaps sustainable as well?
Well, maybe I can share with you some of the numbers. So within the context of Malaysia, if you look at the contributors to carbon emissions, 75% is very much contributed by the energy and transport sector. So that's about 252 metric tons of carbon. So out of 75% of the total, 335 metric tons contributed by Malaysia in the overall economy, if you like. So therefore, naturally, given that significant contribution from the energy side, you can't help speaking about power generated from fossil fuels and so on. So that's something which we will have to deal with. Now, on the issue of the S and G, the social and governance, social is more about making sure that we comply with human rights practices and especially in labor policies and the well-being of society. And governance side, that refers a lot with the way we conduct our business, especially among the corporates, among others, making sure the non-bribery practices are being put in place and so on. So on the financial institution side, or sustainable investing, so maybe there are two elements there. One is sustainable investing. The other one is in terms of sustainable finance. By financial institutions. So when investors look at investing into equities, so they will be looking at investing in companies that take into account ESG considerations in their business operations. And likewise, in the case of banks, so there's a global movement now, making sure that they will be net zero by 2050, and making sure that they don't finance projects that bring harm to the environment and to the people. So, for example, we have many banks now committing not to finance any coal-related projects by 2030. So banks like HSBC and domestically Maybank, CIMB, and others have already made those commitments.
You know, since its launch in 2014, the constituents of FTSE4Good Bursa Malaysia Index have tripled from 24 to 75. What does this growth signify for the industry? Do you feel that this is going to bring about a significant change to bringing sustainable finance into the picture?
Well, thanks, Brahim. We started with screening some 200 counters. And making them and testing them against the compliance with ESG considerations, working together with FTSE Russell, if I may. And when we started back in December 2014, so you're right that there were 24 counters that make up that FTSE4Good Bursa Malaysia Index. And alhamdulillah, through a lot of advocacy and engagement, where more companies meet the criteria, and now we have 75 component stocks in the index. Now, obviously, it is our hope that more and more companies will take ESG considerations into their business operations, and therefore expanding the list of the constituents, hopefully.
You know, we talked about the SNG element already, but I want to focus more as well because governance has been brought into the spotlight. There's a lot of companies right now that are being discussed, at least amongst the investors' circle, on how they disclose information, whether or not the information that's being disclosed is actually true and fair, whether the auditors and the assurance industry, so to speak, is coming out to say and alert people accordingly, whether or not independent directors are rising up to the challenge of speaking up against the board or against the management. All these things are happening right now. We just need to Google it, and all the companies are out there to be discussed. So now the question is, from the Bursa perspective, do you feel that there is going to be a serious impact on how listed companies are going to disclose moving forward, particularly in the context of Bank Negara's taxonomy on climate change and principle-based taxonomy, or the CCPT guidance? Do you think that this will help better disclosure? Do you think this will help better governance?
Absolutely. I think we are seeing this on many fronts. I think firstly, the SEC has already issued the new Malaysian Code on Corporate Governance, which is continually improving, if I may, and upping the standards and the ante. I think there are much stricter requirements in terms of ensuring board diversity, competence, and independence. And that's something that we laud and will be further promoting and enforcing it, if you like. and on disclosure beyond the statutory financial disclosure, I think all the additional movements, for example, in the case of the Financial Stability Board, that's looking at the Task Force for Climate-Related Financial Disclosures, TCFD. So that will ensure financial institutions report appropriately on their exposures to environmental considerations and so on. And obviously, with the recent taxonomy being introduced by the central bank as well. So at the end of the day, when we talk about financial reporting, it will be that integrated reporting that will look at things holistically. Now, one other element which you know, I think deserves mentioning is the work done at the legislative level, if I may. So as you know, the MACC Act has been strengthened with corporate liability under Section 17A, where corporates will now have to bear responsibility for the actions taken by their staff who are involved in bribery activities and so on. So this is all part of the overall movement towards better governance, if I may.
We'll go for one short break before continue our conversation with Tan Sri Abdul Wahid Omar of Bursa Malaysia. Thanks for staying on with us. I have with us here on the line Tan Sri Abdul Wahid Omar, Bursa Chairman, as well as the WWF Malaysia Trustee. Tan Sri, earlier on you were talking about COP26 Glasgow. That will take place in November later on this year. And it seems like the conversations that have been recorded by the press and by the media, it's always about the G7 countries taking a move on this, the G20 countries. And this is a continuation of a trend where G7 countries are leading the conversation. Very recently, the G7 meeting of finance ministers confirmed to agree moving ahead on global minimum corporate tax, for instance. There's a lot of other movements where the G7 is taking a lead. Do you feel that smaller nations like us, like ours, should be taking a greater role in terms of driving this conversation forward? Where do we stack up when it comes to us versus G7, for instance, or us versus the bigger economies? Do you feel that we need to coalesce amongst each other and drive this conversation further, more aggressive even?
Well, Ibrahim, naturally, the G7 countries, they have the capacity and capability to be able to actually drive some of these major initiatives, given their advanced stage in the development of the economy. And I think that's a good thing. But it doesn't mean that the rest of the world will take a back seat. And you mentioned about the commitment towards net zero, for example. Based on the last count, I remember there's some 127 countries, you know, beyond the G7 that have committed towards net zero. And that represents about 38% of the global economy that's committed to global net zero by 2050. And there's another, I think, 32% or so that's committed towards global net zero by 2060. So my view is that, yes, it's okay that the G7 countries have taken lead, given the advanced stage of their economic development, their wealth, and so on. But the rest of the world will play their part too.
There seems to be a lot of listed companies in Malaysia that is taking some pride in terms of how they disclose their financial reporting, particularly when it comes to highlighting their efforts on sustainability, on net zero carbon emission, or even low carbon economy. One such company that I can mention top of my mind is HSBC Amanah, very recently doing the same thing amongst others. Do you feel that the incentive for the companies in Malaysia, particularly listed companies, can be further enhanced in order for them to embrace this even further? Where do you see regulators come in and incentivizing these companies to be a little bit more aggressive in terms of embracing ESG practices?
Well, my view is actually, I don't think you need incentives per se for them to move towards sustainability. Because at the end of the day, it's a global movement, and for which, if they do not participate in it, they will be left behind. So it's very clear. If you look at the equity investors, the fund managers, for example, they have made a clear commitment that they will not be investing in companies that ignore ESG considerations in their business. And likewise, financial institutions have also made the commitment that they will not fund companies that ignore ESG considerations in their business. So what that means is, for any company listed or otherwise that chose to ignore sustainability considerations, the environmental, social and governance considerations in their business activities, they're not going to get any equity funding. They're not going to get any debt financing. And they're also not going to get many people buying their products too, because the consumers are now demanding that companies practice sustainability in producing the product. And on the last part, you also not going to get the human capital necessary to run your business, because many people nowadays, especially the younger generation, they would only want to join companies that look after the environment, that care for the people, and that have good governance.
The Joint Committee for Climate Change, or JC3, has placed a theme called Finance for Change. And when we talk about finance for change, I can't help but think, how do we break out from this notion of, you know, banks financing businesses that is having a proven track record of repayment, clear asset and liability statements, and, you know, the world of VCs and PEs, or the venture capitalists, they have a clear idea of what the matrices are when it comes to financing entrepreneurs moving forward. But when we talk about finance for change per se, if you really want change, do you feel that the traditional financial institutions really need to embrace how they want to finance businesses and entrepreneurs that really embrace developing solutions for climate change? A solar manufacturer, for instance, an electric car manufacturer, when they go to a bank, do they still need to fulfill old ways of going concern, for instance? Do you feel that, you know, it's a post-pandemic world, we really have to rethink how we do things, and at the same time, of course, managing our risk, obviously, but at the same time, try to see where these entrepreneurs are coming from, where these businesses are coming from, and try to truly finance for change?
Well, it's important for all of us to remember the basic functioning of fund managers and of the financial institutions. Now, you know, their role is mobilize funds, surplus funds, into productive sectors of the economy and into viable businesses. And nowadays, into more sustainable businesses. So by very nature, they're actually fulfilling their role. Now, in the past, there may not have been enough considerations on the sustainability elements. But now, that's actually very much high on the agenda. Now, it is very important for the financial institutions, for the fund managers, when they invest, naturally, they will have to look into the viability and the feasibility of the projects and the companies and the businesses that they are funding. Because without viability and feasibility, naturally, they will not be getting the returns necessary, again, to give back to the providers of the funds in the first place. Now, that doesn't mean that they will be irresponsible. And just looking at the financial considerations. So it's looking at both sustainability and financial considerations too. Because if it's not viable, it will end up with the financial institutions and the fund managers losing money. And I don't think that's sustainable in itself. And speaking of the green businesses that you mentioned, electric vehicles and so on. So I think there's a lot of money that's gone into these businesses. Naturally, for any new ventures, that will require a lot more of the risk capital. So this is where you have your venture capitalists going in and private equity firms going in, because they are able to absorb higher risk compared to your traditional debt funding. But naturally, once the technology is proven, then the low-risk financiers will then be able to actually come in and provide that additional financing required to scale up the business, if you like.
Tansri, so you're going to be a speaker at the Finance for Change conference. What would be some of your thoughts going into the event? What would be some of your personal wishes in order for you to see this truly successful event?
Well, the event will be held over 2.5 days, so on 23rd and 24th. So you will have, this will be emphasis more on French institutions. You have, you mentioned earlier, people like the Banegara governor and the chairman of the Securities Commission will be speaking on the first and second day, respectively. You have the Minister of Finance doing the closing plenary on the second day. And of course, one of the highlights will be Sir David Attenborough, the conservationist and naturalist, who will be providing the big picture on climate change and so on. On my part, I'll be delivering the keynote address on the third day, and that will be very much suitable for all the corporate sector. So the idea will be to encourage more and more corporate sector to come on board the sustainability journey. And the idea will be there's a lot of advocacy and encouraging them, not just about what to do, but how to do it as well. And to me, to be very granular about how and what role they can play to support Malaysia in its movement towards net zero. And speaking of net zero, obviously, we will also have, among others, the Secretary General for the Ministry of Environment and Water, Dato' Sri Zainul Ujang, will also be speaking at the conference. So I do hope that everyone will find time to participate and listen in to this conference.
Tansri, the final few questions I have for you is actually a plea towards the corporates. Based on the interviews that I've done on this show, it seems like the mood is it's either or, either to remain going concerned, particularly in a tough environment post-pandemic, and try to focus and hunker down, you know, do whatever that is needed to come out of this pandemic unscathed, or at least bearable, because they do have a lot of businesses that are suffering because of the pandemic, or embrace change, embrace ESG practices, try to be more sustainable. And when I tell them that why must it be an either or kind of argument, they can't seem to see the financial viability of embracing ESG practices with, at the same time, with being productivity or being productive. Where do you stand on this? Is it an either or question, or do you think that it's one and the same? In fact, it's crucially needed. Embracing ESG means going concern is being upheld.
You're right, Brahim. They are not mutually exclusive. In the first place, look at what we are going through now is as a result of us ignoring the environmental considerations and from a risk management side too. And you see how the zoonotic diseases have emerged, jumping from animal to human, we are still grappling with it. But I think, alhamdulillah, inshallah, with the vaccination rate increasing, we'll be able to come out of it. But along the way, you will see that the businesses that suffered most have been those that did not look at the sustainability element in their business operations. For example, in terms of looking at their supply chain, multiple sourcing, diversification of both their supplies and their sale of their eventual products, for example. And I think this is where it is important for companies to take into account the sustainability elements. Again, the three elements of environmental, social, and governance into their business, because if they don't do that, they will not get the equity financing, they will not get the debt financing, they will not get the human capital that they need to run the business, and they will not get the consumers buying their products if they choose to ignore ESG. So my view is actually it's inevitable, but what we need is to truly advocate and enhance the level of comprehension among corporates. So why are we doing this, and how we can do this? And when everyone starts to contribute, and I think inshallah, we'll move towards a much better environment and towards a more sustainable, inclusive society and economy, if like.
Yeah, thank you, Tan Sri. That was Tan Sri Abdul Ahad Omar, who's the chairman, dialing in from the UK. Please do check out JC3 conference that is happening on the 23rd to 25th of June. It's happening in a few weeks' time, I suppose. If you've missed any part of this conversation, just head on to astroawani.com. Look for Notepad there. Look out for Bursa Malaysia. Look out for JC3. And there are plenty of conversations like this that can be found there. Also, you can let us know what you think about the show. Just hit us up using hashtag Awani News on all our social sites. Until then, thanks very much for watching and catch you in the next one.